We begin the current daf, Masechta Baba Basra, daf Nun Ches. We begin on the fourth line down for the Tab of the Yomit, where the Gemara continues to discussing the Talmud Chacham Rebbe Na, who had said over different teachings from him. So the Gemara continues. Rebbe Na, who was a great person, and therefore he had permission, as we're surely going to see, to enter into the graves of the righteous, but actually other people are not able to, as the Gemara says in Chulin Davidayim Abayz, that tzaddikim are greater in their death than when they're alive. Now, he would enter into the caves, and he would measure the length and the width of the area within the grave itself, and then he would measure that same area on the outside, and have a kmetzayin ma'arta. He would then make a sign out of lime, so that it would be recognizable the place of where the tumah is, where a dead person's body is, so that people should not bring tahiris into that area, so that a person shouldn't, by mistake, lean over and then be an oil, where then he would become tummy, and whatever tahiris would have would become tummy. Now, kimatul ma'arta d'Avram, when he reached the grave of Avram Avinu, which was Ma'aras HaMachpel in Chevron, ashkechei l'Eliezer er Avram. So he encountered Eliezer, who is the servant of Avram, the koi kame baba, who was standing at the entryway, which, as we learned in the Brayso of Masechtas Derech Eretz, which mentions seven righteous people that never really passed away, that they're still alive, and one of those mentioned is Eliezer Eved Avram. So he was there standing by the gate. Amalei, my kavod Avram. So Rabbi Noah asked Eliezer, what is Avram Avinu doing? Amalei, he said, Goni b'chnofa disara. He's laying in the wings, meaning between the arms of Sarah, of his wife. V'kama aina liberation, she's looking, she's holding him in her arms, and she's looking, analyzing in his head. So Amalei, Sir Bana said to Eliezer, Zil Amalei, go tell Avram that Bana koya bava, that Bana is by the entryway, and that he should have permission to enter. So Amalei, so Avram Avinu said to Eliezer, Leil, let Rabbana enter. And there's no chutzpah, there's nothing audacious about having him enter in when Avram Avinu is laying in the arms of his wife. Because Avram Avinu said regarding Rabbana, made the idea, the Yitzhar Bahai Amalek, he knows that in this world, meaning when you pass this world, which the people who have passed away already are there, that there's no evil inclination in that realm, and therefore we don't have to be concealed and have tznius from him, because it's okay, he knows that it's not something inappropriate. So Rabbana entered, he went and he looked around what's the length of the ma'ara, of the cave, and then he went outside and he marked the area of the ma'ara samachpela from the outside. Now, kimatul ma'artu d'admarishin, when he then came to the grave of admarishin, which is also in that same area of ma'ara samachpela, when he went came specifically to the grave of admarishin, yatza baskal v'amra. So a heavenly voice rang out and said, nistakalta bidmus diyukni. You have looked at the form of my image, meaning, which is a reference to to Yaakov Avinu, which, as the Gemara is going to say shortly, that the beauty of Yaakov was something was somewhat of a resemblance of the beauty of Adam Arishan. So, because since this is Ma'aras HaMachpelah, which, as the Gemara says in Erev Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, that it was called Mamre Kiryas Arba, which Rabbi Yitzchak says, why is it called Kiryas Arba? Because it's the place of the four pairs. We have Adam Chava buried over there, you have Avram and Sarah, you have Yitzchak and Rivka and Yaakov and Leah. So he already gone to Avram, Yitzchak, and to Yaakov. So he already gazed at the form of my image, but from the image that I made myself, that is a reference to Adam Arishan, which the pasuk says in the beginning of the Torah, "Bitzelam alekim bara." He said that in the form of his image he made him. That al tistakel, that you can't look at. You can't go into his ma'ara to measure it. But Rabbi Noah said, "Habeina litziyun ma'arta." But I need to go ahead and mark the graves from the outside, and therefore I have to go inside to measure the exact area. So that the Baskel answered, Kemidas Achitzaina, like the measurement of the outer area, which is a reference to the three Avos and the Imahos, Kach Midas HaPanimis, that's the same area of the inner cave. Like this is going like the one who interprets when it says Ma'aras HaMachpelah, that the doubled cave means to say because there was two rooms, one in within the other, which is a machlekes Rabbi Shmuel and Masechtas Erevin, how to interpret Ma'aras HaMachpelah, but according to the one who says that it means it was double because you have one room from within the other one, so you already measured the outer room, which was the Avos and the Imoyasar, you don't have to measure the inner one, that of Adam Arishan and Chava, because it's the same area, so you know the measurements from the outer one. Now, but according to the other interpretation, it said Ma'aras HaMachpelah is not one room within the other, but rather it's actually one room on top of the other. So what the heavenly voice rang out was kemidas elyona kachmidas hatachteina. Like the upper measurement of that room, which was that of the avos nimois, is the same as the original one, the one on the bottom, and therefore it's enough that you measure the upper one, you don't have to measure the bottom one to come into where Admarishan is, because you know already from the upper one, and you don't have to enter into Admarishan. Now, but Adam Amr Abanah, he said, Nistakalti b'shnei akevav, I gazed at the two hills of Admarishan, v'daimim l'shnei gagalicham, and they look like the two orbs of the sun. I mean, that's how bright they were, like the sun itself. Now, Rashbam says, although that it says in the Pasuk, Ki Afer Atav El Afer Tashim, that when Admarishan was said that he sinned, he came from the earth, he's going to go back to the earth. So how could he have a body and a heel and having it shine like the sun? So the Gemara Masechta Shabbos actually asks us in Kufnun Beis and Mabeis and says that this going back to the earth is only one moment before Tchis HaMeisim. But up until that point in time, like in the times of Rabbi Na, his body was still intact and his heel still shone like the sun itself. Similar discussion, the Gemara says, HaKol Befnei Sarah, every woman was compared to Sarah Imenu, was Kekeif Befnei Adam, is the comparison how a monkey is to a human, that's how every woman measured up to the beauty of Sarah Imenu. And Sarah Befnei Chava, but the beauty of Sarah compared to the beauty of Chava, which was the first woman, Kekeif Befnei Adam is also like the comparison of a monkey to a person. That's how beautiful, again, as we said, how Yaakov was something, but compared to Admarishan, he couldn't go into see Admarishan. That's the same thing with the beauty of Sarah compared to the beauty of Chava. Now, Chava Befnei Adam, the beauty of Chava compared to that of Admarishan, which that was made, he was made by Hashem himself, was Kekeif Befnei Adam, was the comparison of a monkey to a person. And Adam Befnei Shechina, and Adam compared to the Divine Presence, is Kekeif Befnei Adam, is also compared to a monkey in comparison to a person. Similar discussion like we mentioned before, is Shufri de Rav Kahana, the beauty of Rav Kahana, was Me'in Shufri de Rav, which Shufri is different than others. Each one is talking about a different element, which this is more of like luster, of Rav Kahana was somewhat of that of Rav, and Shufri de Rav was Me'in Shufri de Bavo, and Shufri de Bavo was Me'in Shufri de Yaakovinu. The beauty of Rav Bavo was somewhat that of Yaakovinu, where the Gemara in Perkei Seichas Pailim asks, why wasn't Rabbi Yechanan mentioned, who we know was a very beautiful? The Gemara there says because he didn't have what's called Hadras upon him, he didn't have a beard. So that took away somewhat of his luster. And Shufri de Yaakovinu, as we said before, was Me'in Shufri de Admarishan. The beauty of Yaakov was somewhat of a semblance of that of Admarishan. Now the Gemara brings another story related to that of Rabbi Na, where it says, Kimatim Arta, when he came to the cave by Avram Avinu. So it says a story that has that same the same words. Huam Gusha, there was this sorcerer that bechatut shachvi, that would dig up dead people to strip them of the clothing that they were buried in. Kimatim Arta, the Rav Tuvi Bar Masna, when he reached the grave of Rav Tuvi Bar Masna, tavsi bedikne. So he actually was still intact, and he grabbed a hold of this Amgushi's beard, and didn't let him go. So Asa Abaya came, Amalei said to Rav Tuvi Bar Masna, "B'matusim enach shavke, I beg of you, please let him go." That's because this idol worshipper was Abaya's friend. L'shon Achriti, the next year, Hada Asa, again the Amgushi came, and Tavsa Bedikne, and again Rav Tuvi Bar Masna grabbed a hold of his beard. Asa Abaya came again to plead with him, and Lishavke didn't leave him. Until he had to bring his scissors and cut his beard, and only then was able to free him from the grasp of Rav Tuvi Bar Masna. Now the Gemara continues again discussing Rabbi Noah. Hahuda Amaluhu, there was a certain individual who said to the people around him, and this was a person that was giving out his last commandments before he passed away, and was splitting up his inheritance. He said as follows, says, Chavita da'afra, a barrel of earth, I'm leaving, l'chad b'roi, to one of my sons. Now, he was talking in a very wise way, that not everyone should understand that he was wealthy and that he had a lot of assets. So he was doing this in a way that was very symbolic. So he says, a barrel of earth to one of my sons, Chavita da'garmi, a barrel of bones, full of bones, l'chad b'roi, is for one of my other sons, and Chavita da'udra, and a barrel of cloth, is l'chad b'roi, is for one of my other sons. Now, lo abiyadi, my kamo, he didn't know what he was telling them as he passed away, where he left a barrel of bones, a barrel of earth. So also come to Rabbi Na, they came in front of Rabbi Na. So Amlu, he said to them as follows, he says, Islechu ara, do you have land that was left to you from your father, where, if that's the case, and that's what he was hinting to, where he was leading up to, where that would obviously be the reference of the barrel of earth. So Amr Le'in, they said yes. So he said, Islechu chevasa, do you have animals that your father left you? Now, which animals have bones in them, which that was referring to the barrel of bones. So in, they said yes. Eslechu bistarki? Do you have all types of clothing which are made from moichin, from these cloths? In, they said yes. He said, Yach, if that's the case, this is what he was telling you. The one who got the barrel of earth gets the land, the one that gets the barrel of bones gets all the animals, the one who gets the barrel of cloth is the one who gets all the clothing. Similarly, Ahu Gava, there was a certain individual, the Shamala de Besu, the Ka'amr Librata, that he overheard his wife telling his daughter, Amai Litz Niaspi Surah, why are you not at least clandestine in your forbidden immoral acts that you engage in with other men? And she said to her daughter, Hachitza, this woman, referring to herself, Asar Bona Isla, she has 10 sons, 10 children, Valesli Mavuch Elchad, and only one of those 10 is from your father. But no one knows that. Be discreet when you do something forbidden. Now, Kishachev, when he passed away, and he knew that now only one of these his 10 children was really his own, so when he passed away, Amalahu, he said to the people around him, Kol nichsi l'chad bra, all my properties go to one of my sons, and that will be the one that the courts will select. At the Bezdin. Now, lo yadil haymanar, they didn't know which one of the 10 sons he referred to. So, aslakamid Rebbe Noh, they came in front of Rebbe Noh. So, Amalahu, he said to them, Zilu chavutu, go, all you sons, go and bang on Kivud Avuchen, bang on your father's grave, Adakoi umagalachu lahaymanaychu shavka, until he will come and reveal himself to you and tell you for which one of his 10 sons he left it for. And what Rebbe Noh was intending to do was to test these sons, because those that will go and bang will be those who are mamzerim, illegitimate children, because as the Gemara says elsewhere in Masechta Kala, that mamzerim are azipanim, that they're brazen. They don't have, they're not modest. And they're going to go ahead and bang. And Azlu Kulu, so all their sons actually went and banged on their father's grave. But Ahu Debrei Hab, the one that was really his son, Le'azla, he didn't go. So Amalahu, he said to them, Kulu Nichse Dahai, all the properties go to this one that didn't want to bang on his father's grave, because he was the most modest of all of them. And it's logical to say that this is the one that the father loved more than all the rest. Now, this is the righteousness of Rebbe Noah's judgment, where the only way of judging would be what's called Shudda D'Dayna, the one that the judge sees most fit, and this is the one who didn't bang on his father's grave, which similarly, as the Gemara says in Ksubas of Peheim and Beis, when they said, I'm leaving all my properties to Tuvia, I didn't say which Tuvia, so that's what's called Shudda D'Dayna, the judge is able to verify based on his intellect, who is it, and here he surmised that Rebbe Noah, the same thing, that this one must be the one that he left it for, and that was actually the father's plan, because he wanted not the ones that his wife had from other people. Now, Azlu, but all the other 9 brothers, they went and achlu kurtza b'malka. They went and they slandered him by the king. Achlu kurtza means like they're eating winks with a hint, and that's how they slander generally. The Amri, they said to the government, Ika gravachad b'yudai, there's one person amongst the Jews, to come mapig memayinim inchi, that takes away money from people, b'loi sahadi, b'loi midi, without witnesses, without anything. So asyu chavshu, they brought Rebbe Noah and they imprisoned him. Now Azul the Besu, so his wife then went, the wife of Rebbe Noah went to complain to the government in a very smart and intellectual way, so that they won't understand what she's saying, except that they'll need the services of her husband, and then she'll be able to free him. So Amalahu, she said to them, Avdechad Habli, had one servant, Paskulareshe, they first cut off his head, Upashulamashke, then they skinned his skin, Vahlu Bisre, and then they ate the flesh of the slave, Vukamolabimaya, and then they went and they drew water with his skin, Umashkibe, and then they gave to drink with his skin, l'chavraya, to the students. V'l'kayavili dame, they didn't give me any money, v'l'agri, and no pay for what they had taken from me. Now, lo yadi my kamalu, they didn't know what she was telling them. Amri, they said, nesil l'chakima du yahadi, let's bring that wise Jew, meaning referring to Rebbe Noah, v'leme, let him tell us what she's saying. So, karyula Rebbe Noah, they called Rebbe Noah. And Amalahu, he said to them, Zarnuka Amalahu, she's talking to you about a flask made out of leather. And this is what she was saying. Her slave was referring to a goat. She was saying, I had a goat, they stole it from me, they slaughtered it, which means cutting off the head, then they ate the meat, and from the hide, from the leather, they made a flask, and they drew water with it, and they gave to others to drink with it, and that they didn't give me any pay, any reward for it. So Amri, they said, since this Rebbe Noah is so intelligent, let him sit by the gate and let him judge all those who come for judgments by the court. Now, once Rebbe Noah was sitting over there, he saw what was written there on the gate, on the doors on the gates of the doors, which was written over there, so that people should learn from the wisdom of the judges, it said as follows. It's called Dayan. Any judge that's designated to be the judge of the city, and at times the Miskari Ladin, if it will happen that some will call him to a judgment regarding that he's claiming money from the judge, Loishmei Dayan, he's not called a judge, and he's invalid to be a judge. Because since he loves money, and as we see someone's claiming money from him, so he might take bribes, and therefore he's invalid to be a judge. Now, Amalahu, as Rabbi Noah said to the others around him, he says, El Me'at, but if that's the case, then us, in Ishmi'ama, then a random person will just come, as we continue to Amidbeis, Umazman, the Gir says, Lay Ladin, and then he'll just call, summon one of the judges to a court case, inappropriately, and actually the judge will be cleared from the verdict, and yet possibly will invalidate him because he was called to a court case. Ella, rather said Rabbi Noah, it should say as follows. Called dying the Miskari Ladin, any judge that's called to a judgment, umafkinim and emaimin bedin, and then they actually extract money from him through the judgment, then lavshmei dying. Then he's not called a judge, because since he's a goslin, he's a thief. That's, he's possible to be a dayan, because he's going to distort the judgment, because he will take bribes. Whereas Tesis says it would be Torah, for example, if he denied, and then witnesses came and said he's lying, and then they took away money from him. Yeah, that's what Rabbi Noah was referring to, but if let's say they said that because of the claim you have to swear, and he doesn't want to swear, and then he pays, that's not, that would not invalidate him for a court case, but it's something that would prove that he stole money, then he's invalid to be a judge, because then he might take briberies. So Kasvachi, so because of what Rabbi Noah said, they wrote and they amended as follows. Baram, however, they added on, Sabidu Dayamri, the elders of the Jews say, Kodayin the Miskari Ladin, any judge that's called to judgment, Umafkin Minei Mimayin Abedin, and then they take away money from him based on the judgment, he's Lavshmei Dayin. He's not called a judge. Now, Chazad the Chsev, but Rabbi Noah kept on looking around. They saw that it was written as follows. Bereish Kol Maisa Anodam, at the hedge of all the death, I am blood, meaning the head of all death is blood, because a person generally dies because of the excess of the blood, where he doesn't, as in Talmudic times, draw the blood that's appropriate for him to draw. And Bereish Kol Chayin Anochamar, and at the head of all life is me, wine, meaning because wine helps all those who drink it to sustain themselves in life. Now, when Rabbi Noah saw that, he asked him, he said, Lame'at, but if that's the case, so the Nafal Me'igru Me'isav, if someone falls from a roof and dies, or the Nafal Me'dikla Me'isav, if someone falls from a tree and dies, Dama Katle, what you think what killed him was the excess of blood? Because he fell. So how can you say the head of all death is blood? Vesu, moreover, Man D'Darkei Lame'is, and someone that's normal for him to die, for example, he's Geisus, is what's called, he's in the throes of death. So Mashke Lechamer V'chai, we're going to give him wine to drink and then he's going to live. You said that the head of all life is wine. What, such a person will live? Rather, he said, this is what it should be written. Bereish kol marin anodam, at the head of all illnesses, I am blood. Meaning, because illnesses come because of blood, not death, because death, you could, the person could die from falling from a roof or a tree. And so to bereish kol asven anochamar, and the hedge of all healing is me wine, because if a person drinks wine appropriately and proportionately, then he does not become sick, but not life, because a person that's dying and drinks wine would not live either. Now, Kasvahachi, so they wrote as follows. Biram, however, Sabbath Yudai Amri, the elder of the Jews, say, Bereish kol marin anodam, at the head of all sicknesses is me blood. Bereish kol asvin, at the head of all healing of medicine is anochamer, is me wine. But asad leschamer, but they wrote, but in a place where there's no wine, Taman Mizbo Samon, and that's where you have to go ahead and try to get medicine, where you're going to need to have medicine for the illnesses, because when there's no wine, so therefore you're not able to maintain your health, then there will be necessity of getting medicine, then you're going to have to go ahead and seek out Samon. So too, Kasa Pischa de Kapatkaya was written on the entryway of Kapatkaya, which is the name of a place, Anpik, Anbig, and Antal, which this is its own statement, which is just said incidentally because we said we're getting what was written on the doorways by the judges over there. So it says it was written on the entryway of Kapatkaya, which it was coming to teach the people of the city that they wrote that there was three different names for the same measurement. Now the halachic relevance of that is for business dealings. If someone stipulates to sell to his friend the full measurement of one of these, whatever language he uses, then he gets the same measurement, and just different places they call it different things. Some places call it Ampik, some call it Antal, some call it Ambig. As the Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Ayin says similarly, Lishtamar Amboga. Now, says the Gemara, Ve'ezu antel. The Gemara says, so what is the measurement of this antel, which is the same as ampik and ambig? Says the Gemara, Ze revius shal Torah. This refers to the revius that's for the Torah, which is what we know as the revius halog, which is a bay and a half. Now, the reason why it's called the biblical revius is because there's the four cups that we drink by Pesach, by the Seder, which the measurement is revius, which the Chacham found an allusion to it from the Torah, from the four cups which are written by that of the in Mitzrayim, by the Sahar Mashkin. And there's also the four different terminology of redemption mentioned, and therefore it's called the biblical revius. Now, because actually there are other biblical revius of wine for the Nazir, and actually Masechtas Nazir Dav Lamaches Manaf, it actually talks about there's 10 different revius, which biblically you need to have the measurement of revius, and that's why it's called the biblical revius. Now, so do we find in the Chulin Daf Kofetzarin Man Aleph that the Shiv the Antel is like the Gemara saying over here is Revius, where Rabbi Yaakov from the Har Pokoid was Masakin Anat Labast Rabbi Asa. So that was why it was written on that gateway of Kapat Kai to say that all these Ampik Ampik Antel are all the same measurement of what we know as Revius. Now, the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah regarding so what is it that if a person does, will establish a chazakah, as we said, the concept of the previous Mishnah was regarding something that's a kevius, that's a permanence, that establishes a chazakah if the other person doesn't protest. In contrast, if it's not, then it does not establish a chazakah. So this Mishnah continues on that theme and says as follows. Hamarziv, which is a small pipe, a small drain pipe, which what they used to do is that they would hang at the edge of their large drain pipe, which the gutters, they would have, which would go on the whole entire surface of the roof, they would have at the edge of it, they would have a little drain pipe which would take it further away from where the roof is. They would many times change it from the right side to the left side, to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west. And they would use it just to be able to take from the regular gutter to have it go further away from the wall that it doesn't ruin the foundation of the wall. So that says the Mishnah, if someone has this small pipe, the marziv, which is coming off from the main gutter, in lechazaka, that does not establish a chazaka because it's not a permanent thing. So for example, let's say this one who has the roof, if he was machzik in this small drain pipe 3 years and it was hanging over the airspace of his friend's courtyard, he cannot come and claim and say, well, I had a chazaka, because since it's not something that's permanent, because again, as we said, many times it's moved from one place to another, so the owner of the courtyard is not particular and he would be quiet for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, and therefore it's not a chazaka. But its place does have a chazaka, which the Gemara is explaining different interpretations of what does that mean. Now that's a marziv, a small pipe, which again could be changed from one place to the next place from the main gutter. But hamazchila, that's the large pipe. That takes up the whole length of the roof when it comes off, so it could run off. That's something that's permanent. You don't end up changing that from where it is. Therefore, yesh lechazaka, that does have a chazaka because a person would normally not be silent. Rather, he would be particular if this guy's gutter is coming into his courtyard. And the fact that he's silent, you could say that the halacha is with the machzik and must have been that he was probably made up with him. He paid him for the rights, for the ease of the way, and therefore it does establish a chazaka. Similar, sulam ha-mitzri, the Egyptian ladder, which is small, therefore, it's not so permanent. So, in the chazaka, it does not establish a chazaka because since it's not permanent, so the neighbor would not be particular and he wouldn't be so concerned to say, okay, so this guy put a small ladder over here, fine. And therefore, if he puts his ladder in his friend's courtyard to get up to his roof or to get to his dovecot, it's not going to establish a chazaka. But olutsuri, but for the Tyrian ladder, which is very large, then yesh le chazaka, again, that's a permanent thing, therefore that would establish a chazaka. So, to chaloina mitzris, the Egyptian window, which is small, in lochazaka, does not establish a chazaka if he makes this window in the wall of his house, so that he can be able to look out from there and so he could safeguard his garden or his orchard, and the window opens up to his friend's courtyard, and he has this window for more than 3 years, that's not going to be a chazaka because since it's not a permanent type of thing, it's very small, it's not a real window, so then his neighbor is not particularly to protest. Now, Rashbam points out, if let's say, even by an Egyptian window, if it was made to get some sunlight into the house, where he didn't have any other light except from this small little window, this Egyptian window that he made, actually would be a chazaka, because that's being made for permanence, because a person cannot do anything in his house without any light. And anything that creates permanence is going to establish a chazaka. And that's what Shmuel says in the Gemara according to Rashbam, that when it says la'ira, if it's to get some light in the house, then even a small amount is going to establish a chazaka. But generally, if it's made just to be able to look out, it's not a real permanent window, that's not going to be a chazaka. But a l'tzuris, yesh l'chazaka, this tzuri type of a window, which is much larger, that's a more permanent one, that would be a chazaka. In other words, even if it's open to his friend's courtier, which the guy could say, hey, I don't want you looking into my stuff, which would be some type of a hazik, hazikavriya, that would establish a chazaka. Now, says the Mishnah, Ezehu chaloin hamitris. What is an Egyptian window? What? How small is it that it's not permanent? Kol she'in reishu shel adam yuchel ikanes l'teicha. It's the size that the head of a person cannot fit inside of it. That's very small. That would not establish a chazaka. Rabbi Hudam, he says, however, im yesh lo malbin, if it has a window frame on top and the bottom and the right and the side, some type of like an opening of it, then even if a person said cannot enter into it, he holds that it is considered permanent because of the window frame that you made, and therefore that would establish a chazaka. Now the Gemara asked, as we alluded to, what does it mean when it says that the small drain pipe off the main gutter does not have a chazaka, but its place does have a chazaka? What does that mean? Meaning its place is itself. If it doesn't establish a chazaka, that means the neighbor that you had it going over into his property could tell you to get rid of it. That is his place. How can you say its place has a chazaka? So Amar Yehuda Mishmul, he says, Hachikam. This is what the Mishnah is saying. Hamar zev ein lechazaka meruach achas. The small drain pipe does not have a chazaka from one direction. In other words, if let's say this marzev was on the southern edge of his gutter, which is pouring in water to his friend's, to his neighbor's property, and he's had that for more than 3 years, it's not a chazaka, meaning if the owner of the courtyard needs to use the area within, he can't because there's water dripping on his head, so then the owner of the roof would have to get rid of his marzev from here and put it at the other edge of the gutter. Now, the reason for that is because the owner of the roof doesn't lose anything in that way, and therefore, there's no kavias for him to have to have it necessarily here at the southern edge of the gutter, and that's why the owner of the courtyard was not particularly approached this, because he knew that this guy doesn't need it here, he can move it wherever he needs to. So there was not a chazaka from this direction that it's in. But v'yesh l'mekayim chazaka, when the Mishnah says that he does have a chazaka for its place, it means for one of mishtei ruches, from one of the two different directions, meaning either the north or the south, where if he's going to have to take it away from the southern part, that he's allowed to put it at the other side, and the owner of the courtyard cannot tell him, no, I don't want it at all coming into my courtyard. Because no, at least he has made a chazaka that it's going into his friend's courtyard, because in one of the two directions, that a marzev would be considered impermanence. Because generally a house cannot be with just a gutter. It needs this small drain pipe to take it away. It's also going to ruin the foundation. So when this guy originally made this marzev going into his friend's courtyard, that did have a permanence. And therefore, the owner of the courtyard should have protested in the totality of it. From the fact that he didn't protest, he lost. From the fact that he didn't protest in the direction, that is not a chazaka, because he knew he could have him switch from one direction to the other. So therefore, from one ruach, it does not have a chazaka, but from at least either or, that it is a chazak. That's one interpretation. B'chanin Amay says the second interpretation, he says, Hamarzev in lechazaka, when the Mishnah says that the gutter, that the drain pipe does not have a chazaka, what that means to say is, Shem hoya aruch, that if let's say it was longer than it needs to be, and therefore it's taking up a lot of space in his neighbor's courtyard, when it says it does not have a chazaka, means mekatzrei, means to say, when it says that it does not have a chazaka, means to say that the owner of the courtyard could have him make it smaller from the length that it was. But when it says in the Mishnah, b'yesh l'mekaymai, but from the place where it was put, that there is a chazaka, what that means to say is she'imbola oikre in the oikre, that if he wants him to uproot it totally from having it come into his courtyard, that he cannot do. Meaning, even from one side to have to make him move it on the other side, rather in that side where he has it, that direction, in that place, Rav Chanina holds that is a chazaka, and he doesn't have to move it even to the other side. It means even in this side it's a chazaka. When it says he does not have a chazaka, it means in the length, but in the place itself, it is a chazaka. V'imbe Abba Amma, he says a third interpretation. He says, Hamarzev in lechazaka, when the Mishnah says that the drain pipe does not have a chazaka, what it means to say is, Shem Reitza, that means to say that if the owner of the courtyard wants, Livnais Tachtav, to build beneath the drain pipe, then Baina, he's allowed to build his building until it reaches all the way up to where the drain pipe is. And the owner of the roof cannot claim and say, wait a second, just like I was machzik in the place of where the actual drain pipe is, so too I was machzik in the area beneath it. He can't say that, because if the owner of the courtyard gave him permission to hang his drain pipe in the airspace of his courtyard, he didn't give him the ground beneath the drain pipe, and neither did he make it indebted that he can't go ahead and do whatever he needs to do in his courtyard, and therefore he could build beneath it. But when it says in the Mishnah, "Yesh lo mekayim chazaka," what it means to say but the place of the drain pipe has a chazaka, means shembolo ikrei, that he was coming to have him uprooted, and meaning he wants to build his building so high up to where the drain pipe was, that ain't no ikrei, that he can't rip out the guy's drain pipe, because the actual place of where the drain pipe is, that he does have a chazaka. When it says it doesn't have a chazaka, it means it doesn't have a chazaka in the area beneath the drain pipe. Now that the Mishnah, the Gemara continues the top of the Testament Aleph and asks, Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah regarding this that we were discussing, that the Marziv, the drain pipe, does not have a chazaka, but said the Mishnah hamaschila yesh lechazaka. But the gutter does, which is the large pipe that goes right along the length of the building, that does have a chazaka. On that, asked the Gemara, Bishlam elamando amahanach tarti shaper, according to the first two interpretations, that is, let's say that of Shmuel, who said that when the Marziv does not have a chazaka, he said from one side, but it has from two sides, so there it makes sense to say that, but the Meschila has a chazaka, meaning even on that one side, because it's more of a permanence. And it's not normal to have to rip it out from one side to the next side. So that would make sense why the Meschila has a chazaka. So to the second interpretation of Reb Chanina, where if it was long, he would have to make it shorter by the Marziv, but the Meschila, the gutter, that has a chazaka because it's not normal to make it shorter. It has to be that area. And that's how they make it. That's the permanence of it. And therefore, it makes sense. But according to the interpretation, it said by the marziv, by the drain pipe, the reason why it does not have a chazaka, what it means to say is that if the owner of the courtyard wants to go ahead and build beneath the drain pipe, he's allowed to go ahead and build. So then the question is, so why is the maschila, the gutter, any different? Where there we're saying, no, there he does have a chazaka. What that obviously means by default is that there the owner of the courtyard cannot build beneath the gutter of the owner of the roof, but the question is, why would it make any difference to the one who has his gutter if the owner of the courtyard would build beneath the gutter? But the owner of the roof is not losing anything, and moreover, why should the owner of the courtyard have then been mishabed his courtyard to the gutter for something that wouldn't harm him? Why? Why in that case would the owner of the courtyard not be able to build beneath the gutter of the owner of the roof? That's just the Gemara. No, it's not difficult, because Hacha b'meschila shel binyan askin. Here we're talking about where the guy made his gutter out of rocks, a building structure. The Amar Lei, then he could tell the owner of the courtyard, and because he's already been mafzik, and therefore he could say that the rights that I had are moreover not just for the gutter itself, but even the area beneath it. Why? Why would that make sense that the chazaka established even the ground beneath it? Because he could tell him that loy nichali, I don't prefer that you build beneath it, because the tisra ashesai, because then my building is going to get weakened. In other words, because my gutter is going to fall down because of all the clopping and the banging you're going to be doing with all your tools when you're building your structure. It's going to shake the area of the ground, and it could cause a rupture in the structure of the building, of the gutter that I have, and therefore that makes sense that he had established a chazaka not only in the gutter, but even actually the area beneath it, and therefore the chazaka is not only in the place itself, but even in the place beneath that. In contrast to the marziv, to the drain pipe, which is not so chashuv, even if it was made out of rocks, out of building, then you could say that was what the Mishnah was saying, that he could build beneath it. Or, Rashbam says, you could say that actually the fact that the Mishnah was differentiating between the Marziv and the Maschila is because generally we could assume that the drain pipe was made out of wood, where then it wouldn't harm it if you build beneath it, and generally that of Maschila, of the gutter, was made out of Avanim, and that's the difference in the Mishnah, according to the third interpretation, between the Marziv and the Maschila, where for the drain pipe, you could build beneath it, whereas by the maschila, by the gutter, that creates a chazaka not only in the space of the gutter itself, but even the area beneath it, because the building of the Baal HaChatzer would ruin his gutter. And again, since he has established a chazaka, because it's a thing of permanence, would make sense even for the area beneath it.